since youth. B. Williams has been involved in activism with groups like Got Green and Young Women Empowered. B. moved from Minneapolis to Washington to become head policy debate coach, teaching advocacy skills to young people at the University of Puget Sound. They're now working at Capitol Hill Housing, helping to keep residents stably housed. This fall, B. will begin law school at Seattle University. B's goal is to build self-determination in queer communities by breaking down the legal oppression that keeps marginalized people from thriving. Please welcome B. Williams.
One second. It might be lost.
You know.
Oh, thank you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, perfect. Thank you. Hi, I'm B. Seattle U, School of Law, class of 2022. I like to describe myself. I like to describe myself as a change maker and abolitionist. Abolitionist meaning as long as there is oppression, I will chase liberation. liberation from things like colonization, prisons, environmental injustice, exacerbated by climate change, domestic violence, you know, the small things. someday, soon, I'll be a famous attorney. So I just want to take a moment to sit in gratitude. Gratitude for some friends with me here today, over here. To the Black queers whose shoulders I stand on. To the Duwamish people for my harbor on this land that was taken from them. To all the young people who've inspired me over the years with their wisdom and courage. And to folks like Charlotte Ray, Jane Bolin, and Kyler Brodus, who are three Black attorneys with marginalized queer gender identities, who have made history with their persistence and paved the way for my entry into law. When I was writing this speech, I did a search for famous Black attorneys, and there were very few Black queers on that list, and I thought, that's kind of a bummer. I tried to come up with a way to say bummer that was like more fancy, but the truth is, it's just kind of a bummer. So it led me to want to share this quote with you from a trans artist and activist, Alok Vaid Menon, where they say, representation is actually so much about mental health. The suicide rates for trans and non-binary youth, especially trans and non-binary youth of color, are astronomical. And the reason they are so high is because when you tell us we don't exist, at some point we begin to believe you. What representation does is it's actually argument to the world. We're here, we're queer, we're trans, we're people of color, we're gender non-conforming, and you cannot erase us. So if we are to do anything about those issues I highlighted above, we need more queer Black lawyers. As Katie said, I moved here to be a debate coach for the University of Puget Sound. And what's missing from that story is that I was actually a debater for 13 years of my life. And it was something that tried and tested every part of me. Like as a student in particular, I would make copious amounts of time for debate, even to the detriment of my mental health. And it was because debate became my chosen family. Like a lot of queer youth, I've been estranged from my family of origin since I turned 18. And debate was something that offered refuge and love, even if sometimes the folks who love us the most often hurt us the deepest. In this environment, I experienced blatant forms of every kind of oppression in our world. Supposed allies would tell jokes where the punchlines were often anti-Black, transphobic, fatphobic, ableist, or just kind of rapey in that way that made it hard to call them in. Mad heartbreaking. And so I thought this speech was better titled, How Queerness Saved Me Then and Will Rescue Me Continuously in the Future. While coming out hurt, it was coming out that allowed me to name and honor the ways that debate was failing me. And I think one thing that's been so special about leaning into my queerness has to do with the way it allows me to take what serves me well and leave toxic norms behind. Becoming dyke, as I like to describe it, enabled an internal dialogue where I was able to grab the best parts of debate, the skills it taught me, and leave everything else behind. These skills would serve any attorney well, like critical listening, compassion for others, and to doubt that there's any integrity to any of the world systems I know. It taught me to be ferocious in my intellectual pursuits. And above all, it taught me that the best forms of mentorship take place when I'm able to self-advocate. So I decided to quit debate to embark on a journey of self-discovery, where I eventually landed on an idea to follow my high school dream of becoming a lawyer, with no idea how to pay for it. As a single adult who's been financially independent for a decade, $65,000 a year is pretty daunting. The thought that I could graduate with over $200,000 in debt felt like the kind of number that would guarantee I would never get to work in my communities. And for that, I'm deeply grateful to the Pride Foundation for this scholarship. Although I still have to take on some debt, every extra dollar has helped me to breathe that much more deeply. Law school is not possible without financial assistance. An attorney recently said to me that law is about theory, policy, and application. As someone who sits at the intersection of many marginalized identities, I know firsthand what it's like when our legal system is used against me. If we are to apply the theory and policy of law to create a more just world for LGBTQIA+ people, thanks, Dominique. We need legal representation from folks who have experienced the most harmful aspects of its application. We need visible queer Black attorneys. I wrote in my, sorry, it's just so funny that you all are clapping. It's great. I wrote in my scholarship application that I want to change the discourses that prevent queer communities of color from accessing legal remedies to intergenerational hardship. And that's really all that there is to it for me. So I like to close this speech with a simple wish. May my voice be a canvas for the judicial goals of my community.